Hello everyone, my name is Elijah David, Minister of the Trust of Apostolic Center of Penn and Congregation on South Carolina in the Elgin, Texas. Today is March 9, 2024, or it is 29th day of AD, or 2027. We will start the first service today with a song entitled, We're Nearing Home. Hey, Catherine.
Just over the mountain in the promised land, there was a holy city built by your own hand. There's a very footsteps in the mountains crest. We can hear our homeland of eternal rest. We are nearing home. We are nearing home. See the splendor gleaming from the dreams of far. See the glory streaming through the gates of joy. Never sin, we'll enter nevermore to roam. To the angels singing, we are nearing home. We are nearing home. In the roles of the prophets, we have long been told. Of that wondrous city with the streets of gold. Now with raptured vision we can see it there, with its walls of jasper and its mansions fair. Those who enter the city are the faithful few, who keep God's commandments and His word too. They will lift our voices to the endless day in sweet songs of gladness and in grateful praise. Note it, my brother, my sister, where you meet us there. In the land of sunshine, will there be no care, except of your message and to Him be true. Then when Yeshua comes, He will call for you. We are nearing home. You're nearing home. See the glory streaming from the gates of far. See the glory streaming to the ground of far. We will hang your singing. We are nearing home. We are here.
We're going to start with, I'm actually on one page 129, The Voice of Stern Rebuke. That was Yahweh to Elijah. That was Elijah's voice to Ahab. That's on chapter 10 of Prophets and Kings. Prophets and Kings. And that's on page 129. So now we're going to go into our first art taken from Daniel 7. Let's see what we got there. We'll start with verse 1. it says, in the first year of Belshazzar, king of the Babylon, that's the son of Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar was your first king of Babylon, the second universal kingdom this side of Adam and Eve. The first universal kingdom this side of the flood was Nebuchadnezzar with the kingdom of Babylon. So Belshazzar now has succeeded Nebuchadnezzar, closing up the 70-year period of captivity for Judah. So that's what this vision is with Daniel in Daniel 7. He's picking up the end of the 70-year captivity for Judah under Nebuchadnezzar, but has since been transferred to his son Belshazzar. So once again in Daniel 7, verse 1, it says, in the first year of the Belshazzar, king of the Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head upon his bed. Then he wrote the dream and told the sum unto the matters. Daniel spake and said, I saw in my vision by the night, and behold, the four winds of the heaven strove upon the great sea. And four great beasts came from the sea, diverse one from another. For the first was like a lion, and had eagle's wings, and I beheld till their wings thereof were plucked, and it was lifted up from the earth, and made stand upon the feet as a man, and a man's heart was given unto it, and behold, another beast, a second like unto a bear, and it raised up itself on the one side, and it had the three ribs in the mouth of between the teeth of it, and they said thus unto it, Arise, devour much flesh. Okay. Now this is the beast that we're in the antitype of today, of the second beast of Daniel's vision of seven. We're in the antitypical period of this bear, because this is when typical Cyrus was raised up in the type to be the king of Babylon after he overthrew Nebuchadnezzar, or after he overthrew Belshazzar at the end of the 70-year captivity of Judah. And Daniel was still serving the two kings. He had served Nebuchadnezzar, and then he now is serving Belshazzar, the son of Nebuchadnezzar. And we are in the antitype today. We have already entered into the antitype of this period of the bear today, because these four beasts that Daniel saw in vision was a type that these four beasts didn't have to play their part again in the last days, one succeeding the other. You have to know when the antitypical Nebuchadnezzar's period ended and when the antitypical son Belshazzar's period began. And that's what we're dealing with now today. After this, I beheld, and lo, verse 6, another like unto a leopard, After this, I beheld, and lo, another like a leopard, with the four wings upon his back of a fowl. For the beast had also four heads, and dominion was given unto it. Verse 7. After this I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, and strong exceedingly, and it had the great iron teeth, for it devoured and brake into pieces, and stamped the residue with the feet of it, and it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had the ten horns. I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the root, and behold, in his this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking great things. I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of the Days did sit, that his garment was white as the snow, and the hair of his head like the pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as the burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousand thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judge was set, and the books were open. I beheld then, because of the voice of the great words that the horn spake, I beheld even till the beast was slain, and his body destroyed, and given unto the burning flame. So now Daniel beheld this until the beast was slain, and his body was destroyed and given unto the burning flame. And in verse 26 of this same chapter, we're finding out that the saints of the kingdom that possess the kingdom in this time period, in the last days, are the ones that's going to be in charge of this beast, and going with Yahshua's power with them, are going to deliver this beast to be burned into a burning flame. And that prophecy is found in Revelation 19:20, where it says he took those that had been deceived by the beast and the false prophet, and he taken this man on the white horse from heaven, which is Yahshua, he took them and cast them into a burning lake of fire, fulfilling this prophecy of Daniel 7:11. Okay, now let's continue on. Okay. Well, it gives me a cross reference to start that Revelation in Revelation 20, verse 10. As concerning the rest, verse 12 of Daniel 7, as concerning the rest of the beast, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and a time. Now, it didn't say, and the time, it says, for a season and for a time. If it says for a season, then it's also supposed to say for a time. Verse 13, I saw in the night vision, and behold, one like unto the Son of the Man, personal specific, the Son of the Man. Okay. Yahshua is the original Son of the Man. Okay. So then who is that? Yahshua, firstborn of Mary and Joseph of the flesh, is called the Son of Man on this earth. He gets the first title of Son of Man. So he says, let us continue, verse 13. And I saw in the night vision, behold, one like the Son of the Man, Yahshua, the Son of Yahweh, came with the clouds of the heaven. Daniel sees in a vision about Yahshua's literally second coming and the end time in the clouds of heaven. And in Matthew 25:31-34, it says, behold, Yahshua came with the Ancient of Days. It said, he came with the clouds of heaven. And he sat upon the throne of David, and to bring all the nations before him, and to sit the sheep on the right and the goats on the left. And he's going to say to the goats on his right, when he gets through separating the goats from the sheep, the goats on the left, when he gets through separating them from the sheep on the right, the saints, And he's going to say now to the saints on his right, entered into the kingdom of my Father here in that's all I brought down to earth here in this 12th hour. I'm the one that come and redeemed you. I'm the one that separated from your enemy. I'm the one now that is calling you to inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. So you see how this all goes together. Revelation 2:10 through 21 goes with Daniel 7. And now we got Matthew 25:31 through 34 goes with Daniel 7:13. And then we can continue on now reading verse 14 of Daniel 7. And there was given him your dominion. Okay, so when Yahshua made it back to earth here in the 12th parabolic hour, the last probationary time of earth's history, he sets up the kingdom of David. He sets up his throne. Yahweh the Father gives unto him here on earth the throne of his earthly father David. He gives it to his son. Then he sends his son in the clouds of heaven from him in heaven. He sends him to the earth to sit upon the throne of David in his kingdom here on earth. So you're going to have to find where the throne of David is at, is where Yahshua comes to sit upon. Now, folks, they don't get no more present truth than this. Okay, so now, in verse 14, and there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. For his dominion is an everlasting dominion. Now Yahshua takes over when he comes back to the earth here at his second advent here in the 12th hour that we're in now. When he comes and makes his appearance, he does it with the 144,000 in Revelation 14:1-5. And when he stands with them upon the Mount Zion, and they said when he does this, that begins the reign of his kingdom that is forever. It's an everlasting kingdom then from that point on. And everybody that makes up the members of this kingdom that is translated into the kingdom of his dear son here on earth, and that's in Colossians chapter 1, verse 12 to 14, you'll find that in Colossians. Where it says the time came when the saints are translated into the kingdom of his dear son while it has been set up here on earth. Okay. A lot of things taking place here. And you have so many different prophecies dovetailing together taking place here in this 12th hour as an everlasting dominion which shall never pass away. And his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. Okay, so in that last part I just read in his kingdom, it says, they got written here, that which, but you know what, I'm going to drop that word which, it don't even belong in there. I'm just going to put, that shall not be destroyed. That's all the wording you need. That which is, you're going to find out, is a useless word in time. Because it throws you off the true meaning of the word that takes its place, a pronoun. It throws it off of the true of interpreting the true meaning of anything that is written in. So we're going to learn this as we learn to purify the language as we read it. Verse 15 of Daniel 7. I, the Daniel. Now notice I said I, and I should put a comma there. No, you should start that sentence with for, the preposition. For I, comma, as the Daniel, was grieved in my spirit in the midst of my body, and by the visions of my head troubled me. And with the visions of my head troubled me. I came near unto one of them that stood by and asked him the truth of all this. So he told me and made me know the interpretation of the things. For these great beasts, which are four, are as the four kings. Are is a present tense verb, meaning more than one person is this talking about. It's plural. It's a plural verb. And anytime you have a verb, you always start a verb with a prepositional phrase. And so the prepositional phrase that we start here is, these great beasts that are of the four are as the four kings that shall arise out of the earth. That is a personal possessive preposition as well as a pronoun, saying that this is for sure going to happen by prophecy. They're going to rise out of the earth again in the antitype in these 12 parabolic hours. And it should say not only out of the earth, but they have first had come into the earth before they can arise out of the earth. So when did they come into the earth in the antitype? 1776, at the birth of our nation, of the United States. That's when these four beasts in the antitype came up in the earth. Okay? Let's go on from there. For these great beasts, verse 18, but the saints of the Most High, and we should start that sentence again, verse 18, verily, the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the everlasting kingdom of the heaven of the Daniel 2:44 and 45, and that kingdom that Yahshua just talked about there in verse 13, where it says, and there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom that all people, nations, and languages should serve him, for his dominion is an everlasting kingdom, or an everlasting dominion. And you know what that dominion is? That's your number 8 dominion. That's not listed as such in the Bible, except in the prophecy of Micah 4:8. And what it says there was, the time came that the saints possessed, all dominions shall serve this last dominion, starting with the first dominion of Adam. It says, even the first dominion, God's going to serve him. Well, there are all told 8 dominions. We are in the 7th dominion, but it will become the 8th, and the 8th will also refer back to as coming from the 7th dominion. Alright. So now we're going to go back to Daniel 7:18, but the saints, the 144,000, that are future first fruits harvest of the Adventist church by Yahshua, when he comes back the second time, going to personally harvest the first fruits, 144,000, and they are his prophets, priests, and kings that's going to sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. That's in Matthew. But it said, really, the saints of the Most High, and who is the Most High? Yahweh the Father. He's the first and the Most High. Shall take the kingdom. For the saints of the Most High Yahweh, the Father, shall take the everlasting kingdom of the heaven, that's pointed out in the prophecy of Daniel 2:44 and 45, that is set up in the days of these kings in the last days, in the 12th parabolic hour, in the harvest time, during the time of the judgment of the living, and that is orchestrated and prophecy carried out by that fifth group of laborers as taught at the 11th hour in the parable of Matthew 20, verse 6, with Yahshua having joined his fifth group of laborers in the 12th parabolic hour. He says, "Really, the saints of the Most High shall take the everlasting kingdom of heaven and possess this everlasting kingdom of the heaven," of Daniel 2:41-45, "forever." Now, folks, let me tell you a little secret. Yahweh has already placed the kingdom of David in charge of this everlasting kingdom ever since the atonement of 2002, officially. Okay, then I would know the truth of the fourth beast. Oh boy, he's going to want to know the truth of this fourth beast, this nondescript beast that Daniel saw in vision. that was diverse from all of the others. And exceedingly dreadful. Whose teeth were of the iron and his nails of the brass. Now it's important to understand about his nails being brass. Brass is an enduring metal. It has endurance even better than iron or anything else. But iron is the strongest metal, but brass has a stronger endurance for what it's used for. Which devoured, break in pieces, and stamp the residue with his feet, and of the 10 horns that were in his head, and of the others that came up, and before whom 3 fell, even of that horn that had eyes, and a mouth that spake very great things, whose look was more stout than his fellows. I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints, and look at this, they put a small print for the S, instead of a capital letter for saints, they put a small S. Okay. I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints, and prevailed against them. Oh, okay. These are the saints that had died during the Dark Ages of the 1260-year prophecy during the Catholic Inquisition from 538 to 1798. These are the saints that Daniel saw in vision as the first ones to die at the hands of this beast. Because these last group of saints and the judge of the living don't die at the hands of this beast. Let's get that straight. Verse 22. Until the Ancient of the Days came and the judgment was given unto the saints of the Most High. No. And the time came. And the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. Uh-oh. Not only are the living saints, 144,000, going to possess the kingdom and be in charge of it, but you're going to have a resurrection of these dead saints that died during the Dark Ages that are going to be translated into the kingdom of his dear son, Tarsus 1:12-14, and they're going to possess the kingdom with the living saints. So now we have dead saints resurrected, joining the living saints that are already never did die, and they're going to be called all living saints together during the end time. Now watch this. Verse 23. Thus he said, "For the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon the earth." Okay. So we're in the second period of this antitypical four kingdom, the four beast kingdom. We're in the bear period of Persia and the Medes and the Persians, syndrome. We're in the antitype of the Medes and the Persians syndrome. Okay. Then he said, for the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom. This is when pagan Rome ruled over all the earth and the type, starting at the cross, clear unto the time that the saints possess the kingdom here in the last days. Ha ha. Thus he said, for the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon the earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms and shall devour the whole earth. So we're still in the fulfillment now of this fourth beast devouring the whole earth. Right now. And shall tread and it down and break it in pieces. Now this whole kingdom, this whole world that we're in right now, that we're seeing before our very eyes on a daily basis, is being tread down and broken in pieces by this beast. He's still in charge of this world. Okay? Verse 24, and the ten horns out of this kingdom are the ten kings. Okay. Ten means universal. Ten kings means all the ruling kings of the world, of their individual separate kingdoms. But they all join together in a union, and they give their power to this one beast for 1 hour in the end time. And that's where we're at today. All the nations of the world, both democratic and republican and communism and socialism, has given their power and kingdom to this beast, the Catholic Church, here in the 12th parabolic hour, fulfilling Revelation 17 and 18. Okay. So it says now in verse 24 of Daniel 7, and the ten horns out of this kingdom are of the ten kings that shall arise, and another shall arise after them, and he shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue 3 kings. So what did I just read? And the ten horns out of this kingdom are the ten kings that shall arise, and shall arise after them, and he shall be diverse from all the first, and he shall subdue 3 kings. Okay. So during the Dark Ages, the Pope took over the Catholic Church of Church and State in 538 A.D., starting the 1260-year prophecy of the Catholic Inquisition of the Dark Ages of the 1260-year prophecy all told, or 1260-year period. He took it over, and he rose up and on this head of this beast that had the ten horns, and he plucked up 3 horns. And so that only leaves how many horns? At least 7 horns. And he took the place of one of the 4 horns. So, now the Pope during the Dark Ages represents that little horn power that came up and plucked up 3 horns and took over the government of the world, of civil and political and religious. He took over all 3 of those categories and became a parliamentary one rule king over all the world during the Dark Ages. So whoever Pope sat upon his throne in his time during that 1260 years, he was the king of the world. Okay? So Anna said, and shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think for the changing of the times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until a time and time, and the dividing of the time. Verily the judgment shall sit, and they shall take away his dominion. Okay. So let's read verse 25 again, and he shall speak great words against the Most High, as in 538 A.D. when that little horn power came up, and he shall wear out the saints, that was the living saints that would not join the Catholic Inquisition under the mark of the beast, from 530 to 1798. So the Pope and his army of apostatized Christians that had joined him went searching down their brethren in the rocks and the mountains for the next 1260 years to kill and destroy them. And so it says, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High for 1260 years, and think for the changing of the times and laws. So what did the Pope do when he had a power, he rose up in 538 A.D. to rule church and state by his one-man rule? He said, well, we're going to change Sabbath to Sunday officially on the calendar. It's going to be on the first day of the week. Don't call it Sunday, sun worship. And then we're going to change the time to begin the day from 6 o'clock at the going down of the sun at night and evening. We're going to change it to the 6th hour of the night, midnight, to start the new day each day. So we're going to change that time and move it up 6 hours and disorient it to 24-hour period. So that's your times and laws that were, and then that will change the time to keep the Passover during the year. That'll keep the change the right time for keeping the Pentecost, for keeping the Day of the Atonement, and the Feast of Tabernacles, and the Solemn Assembly, and all of that. All those holy days now of the sanctuary creation calendar will be disrupted by changing the weekly cycle. Thinking to change times and laws for Yahweh's ordained system of true worship, set up by a creation calendar, by his calendar in the sky of Jeremiah 31, 31 through 37, talks about Yahweh's calendar in the sky that he set up in the first week of creation of this earth. Okay, so it says, and he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and thank for the changing of the times and for the law, and they shall be given into his hand until a time and times, and the dividing of times, which accounts to 3.5 years, or 43 months, and a half months. No, 43 and a 43 weeks. Yeah, 43 weeks. Or 1260 years. Or 3.5 year period of time. Okay. And they shall begin here until the time and time divided into the time. Verily, the judgment, though, in verse 26, shall sit, and they shall take away his dominion for the consuming of this beast, the Catholic Church's dominion, or this fourth beast that Daniel saw in vision. Now we've got the fulfillment of the prophecy of the destroying of this fourth beast that Daniel saw 2,000 years ago in the vision. Now we're seeing it for the first time here in the 12th hour. The saints are going to be given the privilege to destroy this fourth beast, which is the Catholic Church that has turned down the whole world right now. That's in power right now, but the saints that possess the kingdom are going to take over him and possess him. That's what it says in Revelation 2:26, and the time came that the saints, he that overcometh will I give to rule over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he's going to do more than that, Tom. He's going to bust them to shivers, just like you take and bust a pot of clay, and it shatters to shivers. That's what this kingdom of the saints is going to do to this fourth beast that's represented by the Catholic Church today. Verse 27, and the kingdom, and the dominion, and the greatness of the kingdom, it says, under the whole heaven, will put also hyphen, as well as with the kingdom of heaven, or for the kingdom of heaven, are of the kingdom of heaven. But the most correct word to use, and the kingdom and the dominion and the greatness of the kingdom, and this is a preposition, in the whole heaven and under the heaven and with the heaven of kingdom of heaven shall be given unto the people of the saints. The people of the saints? It didn't say it's going to be given to the saints. The 144,000 is going to say it's going to be given to the people of the saints. Huh. This is your laity, folks. This is not your personal leadership of prophets, priests, and kings. These people of the saints is your laity that had overcome. And so they're going to be given the power. They're your army. This laity is your army. Now you go read Joel chapter 2 about this great army that Yahweh Yahshua comes back to earth and commands here in the last day. And it's the people of the saints that represents this great army, that there's never been an army like it before or after since it was ever created. And the kingdom and the dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given unto the people of the saints. Now that's key. Of the is a prepositional phrase, and it means what it says. It's not going to be given to the saints of the Most High, but it's going to be given, it's going to be given unto the people of the saints, of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. Hitherto is the end of the matter. As for me, Daniel, my cognitations much troubled me, and my countenance changed in me. Really, I keep the matter in my heart. Now, we have just concluded the seventh chapter of Daniel, a very powerful rendering and an unfolding of the fulfillment of a prophecy that I had never understood before this clearly. And I will say there in Daniel 7:18, we're going to review through 22. Verily the saints of the Most High, this is your laity, shall take the kingdom. Ha ha. Boy, this puts a whole different complexion on things. Because in 1970, Brother Johnson was placed in charge of the kingdom of David, the tribe of Judah, the lawgiver, representing the house of Esau as the firstborn of antipical Isaac that inherited the birthright to be the progenitor of the righteous line in these last days. But Brother Johnson was called in the 11th hour, not the 12th, to be a prototype for the one that succeeds him in the 12th hour of these last days. And I'm the one that succeeded him in the 12th hour. And the 12th hour started at the Passover 2002. And so we are now, you know where we're at in the stream of time. We're in the 12th parabolic hour. Brother Johnson had the 11th. So in the 11th, Brother Johnson was the antipical king set upon a throne of David. And he was the one that was in charge of the kingdom of the spiritual Israel of the Adventist Church in his day. Brother Johnson had that charge for 33 and a half years. It says in verse 18 of Daniel 7, verily the saints of the Most High. Okay. So in 1970, the interpretation of verse 18 was, the 144,000 was the projected saints of the Most High. They were the projected saints of the Most High that were at hand to come. But they could not come forward unto the kingdom of Judah until Yahshua the Son shows up in person. Then after he shows up, then that there's a point of time for them, for these saints of the Most High, the 144,000, to come forth. And Yahshua will point that time out here in the 12th hour in Revelation 14. When that time comes. So he said, really the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom. Okay. So, Brother Johnson, by a favorable opportunity, took the possession of the throne of David, the kingdom, in 1970. But it was a temporal possession, because he was to lose his birthright by prophecy, because he didn't have no love for it. But if he had a love for his birthright, then Brother Johnson would still be here today. That was the difference in him being here and not being here. He didn't have a love of his birthright, so therefore he's not here today. Verily the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom. So it says, verily the saints, the 144,000, are going to take the kingdom when they come forth. And possess the kingdom forever. Okay, so they're going to possess the kingdom forever once they come forward and take care for it. Even forever and ever. Then I should know the truth of the fourth beast, it says in verse 19 of Daniel 7. That was diverse from all the others. And now keep in mind, I just showed you where this fourth beast is still in operation today. He's still in charge of the world today. This is something I have not seen before. But we're supposed to see it now to understand the fulfillment of all of Daniel's prophecies now. We have to understand this now. And then all the prophecies of Daniel and Revelation, from this point on, we can understand as it comes time for them to unfold. And we can teach them right. Okay, it says, then I would know the truth of the fourth beast that Daniel saw in vision, that nondescript beast which represented imperial pagan Rome at that time, at the cross. Meaning it was a godless nation, meaning that it was a godless kingdom, meaning that they didn't believe in any religion. They didn't believe in any religion of Nebuchadnezzar. That was the king of Babylon, that he did believe in Daniel's God, and he believed in his religion, and he told all of those at the burning that day when he said cast those three Hebrew children into it, and whenever they came out alive with Yahshua with them, then Nebuchadnezzar changed his decree, and he says now all of Babylon's going to have to serve Daniel's God and his religion from this point on. So that prophecy is still in effect today. There's so many things, folks, that are opening up. The day's coming, I won't be healed 100%. I'm not even going to be able to sleep at night. I'm going to be awake 24 hours a day. And all I'm going to be doing is interpreting these prophecies as they unfold on a moment-by-moment basis. This is where we're at. So in Daniel 7:19, and I would know the truth of the fourth beast, imperial, pagan, imperial, godless, nondescript beast that was diverse from all the others, exceedingly dreadful, whose teeth were of the iron, and his nails of the brass, that devoured, break in pieces, and stamped the residue with his feet. Now this residue is a very important word. So we can make a whole sermon out of this word residue. Residue does not mean remnant. Even though it is a remnant. It means more than that. What happens when you stamp upon a piece of fruit or a rotten fruit or a and you squash it flat on the ground, what's left?
Mush.
Only a residue is left. All the good of it has been stamped out. You can't pick up and eat it. And the only things you can see of it is a residue. Okay. Now, what if you take something and you purify it? And you boil it and you cook it and you to preserve it. What happens when you do something to preserve it? You process all the things that would cause it to spoil out of it, and all you have left is a residue. That's another story. We won't go into that now. It says, which devoured, broke in pieces, and stamped the residue with his feet. And verse 20, and the 10 horns that were in his head, and of the other that came up, and before whom 3 fell, even that horn that had eyes and a mouth that spake very great things, whose look was more stout than his fellows. And we're going to put a comma at the end of the word fellows, and we're going to use the conjunction and. And I beheld, and the same horn that made war with the saints, that past tense that had made war with the saints, and prevailed against them in the past, during the Dark Ages, from 538 to 1798, and until the Ancient of the Days came, and the judgment was given unto the saints of the Most High. Well, when did the Ancient of Days come in our day? Came in 1844, at the fulfillment of William Miller's prophecy, that Yahweh was going to come to this earth in 1844, or Yahshua is going to come back a second time in 1844, and he's going to cleanse the earth by fire and take his waiting saints to heaven. That's what's called the cleansing of the sanctuary in these last days. But William Miller didn't know. He was prophesying the 2300-year prophecy and the coming of the Ancient of Days, and your Ancient of Days is Yahweh, the Father. Okay. And the Ancient of Days came here in Daniel 9-11. And he came in 1844. Daniel 7:9-11, I beheld till the thrones were placed, set up and placed around, and the Ancient of the Days, Yahweh the Father, did set on the day of the Antipical Atonement, 1844, to start the judgment, the first phase of the judgment of both the dead and the living, the dead first, and then the living second. And the Ancient of the Days did set, whose garment was, and unto this day is, still white as the snow. And the hair of his head like unto the pure wool, for his pronoun, for Yahweh the Father, the Ancient of Days, for his eternal throne, white throne, his eternal white throne, was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as the burning fire. Now, this wheels on this throne denotes a traveling throne. So this is not the traveling kingdom of heaven in heaven. This is the traveling throne that came out of the kingdom of heaven that his Father owns in heaven. The Father has to have this throne, and he has to have wheels depicting that this is a moving throne. And that it is not the temple in heaven. It is the throne and the temple of heaven. So Yahweh takes this temple in heaven that has this traveling throne in it, called the judgment throne of the Father, and he only uses that once a year. And that's on the Day of Atonement. And so on the antipodal Day of Atonement, 1844, Yahweh the Father is seen by Daniel in vision, bringing this earth, this heavenly throne and the heavenly kingdom of Yahweh the Father, coming to this earth. No, he didn't come to this earth in 1844. Huh. Well, what did he do? Yahweh the Father in heaven in 1844, he moved out of his stationary throne, where he ruled in the sides of the north, the universe by far. On the Day of Atonement, he moved into his throne room and his kingdom on the side of the north, showing that the throne room is a special place for judgment for this world. So in heaven, Yahweh had a special throne room in his great white throne on the side of the north. He had it there to work with his son here on earth, to judge the people here on earth out of his throne room in heaven when you start the judgment of the dead, 1844. So it says in verse 9, I beheld till the thrones were set up, the judgment thrones, and the Ancient of the Days, Yahweh the Father, did sit in 1844, whose garment was white as the snow, and the hair of his head like unto the pure wool, for his throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as the burning fire. For a fiery stream issued and came forth from before him, thousands ministered unto him, meaning 100 million angels, when you mathematically equate this, 100 million angels with him as witnesses during this judgment time, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment, to start the first phase of the judgment in the last day of 1844 of the dead, was set, and the books of the seven seals were open. Verse 11, I beheld then because of the voice of the great word that the horn spake, I beheld even tell the beast was slain and his body devoured, destroyed and given unto the burning flames here in the 12th hour of 2024 now. And that prophecy started in 1844, so we've been about 175 years with this prophecy ongoing. And verse 12, and as concerning the rest of the beast, they had their dominion taken away, for yet their lives were prolonged for a season and a time, or 3.5 years, or 42 months, here in the 12th hour. I saw in the night vision, verse 13, and behold, one of the like of the Son of Man. Now, here's the coming, here's the second coming of Yahshua in 1844. Here's his second coming. Well, where did he come? Did he come to this earth? No, he didn't come to this earth in 1844. William Miller said he's going to come to this earth in 1844. And he's going to destroy the earth by fire and take his waiting saints to heaven. But Yahshua didn't come to the earth. He came to where the Ancient of Days was at. Where was his Ancient of Days, the Father's at? He was in his traveling throne in the side of the north in heaven. So Yahshua went from his traveling throne in heaven, and he went to his Father's traveling throne in heaven on the Day of Atonement, 1844. He didn't come to this earth. That's the reason why the three angels' message of the Advent was seen flying in the midst of heaven. They never did land on this earth with the three angels' messages. They never did land. They only were seen flying in the midst of heaven from heaven, but they didn't have no destination to land on. The three angels have been flying ever since in the midst of heaven. But now we're going to give the three angels a destination to land. This everlasting kingdom that Yahshua now is possessing with the kingdom of David. Now we're going to give a date for these three angels to finally land. All folks, the clock ticking. This brings in verse 30. Our contact is at the 11th hour call. We may as well find a place to stop right now because this is going to be ongoing for our next sermon. This brings in verse 50, so our contact us at the 11th hour call. That's number 11. Click on the audio archive. We're going to close now with a song. Till the storm passes by. the dark of the midnight, have a hawk to hit my face. For the storms the hell above me, and there's no hiding place. The crash of the thunder, precious Lord, hear my cry. Keep me safe till the storm passes by. Till the storm passes over, till the thunder sounds no more, till the clouds roll forever from the sky. Hold me fast, let me stand in the hollow of the hand. Keep me safe till the storm passes by. Many times Satan whispered, there's no use to try, for there's no end of sorrow, there's no hope by and by. But I know thou art with me, and tomorrow I'll rise, where the storm never darkened the sky. Till the storm passes over, till the thunder sounds no more, till the clouds roll forever from the sky. Hold me fast and let me stand in the hollow of the hand. Keep me safe till the storm passes by. When the long night has ended and the storms come no more, let me stand in thy presence on the bright, peaceful shore, in the land where the tempest never come beyond my heart. Dwell with me when the storm passes by. Till the storm passes over, till the thunder sounds no more, till the clouds roll forever from the sky. Hold me fast, let me stand in the hollow of the hand. Keep me safe till the storm passes by.